I'll do late night in a second. I wanted to start with the podcast awards nominees for best comedy podcast. No sour grapes here. I did not at all expect a nomination, nor did I get one. But, you know, it's interesting to me, and I'll read you the list in a second. It's interesting to me what's on here, what's not on here, and it's not the worst list I've ever seen. I'm not going to throw things. It's not like somebody's doing pantomime videos to Donald Trump on TikTok or doing Hubie Halloween, so I'm not that kind of ticked. But here, let's just do the list. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, Office Ladies, The Read, Smartless, Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Three of those I subscribe to, Conan, Office Ladies, and Fake Doctors. But what I'm seeing here is kind of like what all award shows do is, hey, you know, if we nominate Conan O'Brien, we'll get some press. It's a good pod. I'd love Conan, but I don't know. I would have Tim Dillon on this list. I think he crushed it all year. Joe Rogan's not on the list. Maybe that's not comedy anymore. Maron. Yeah, there's like big things not on here. I have no problem with the list. It just feels kind of, I don't know, TV recappy. Office Ladies, again, I subscribe to it. I really like it. Fake Doctors, Real Friends, that's the Scrub podcast. I subscribe to it. I like it. I think I'm like, here, I should actually look. I like it, but they put out too many episodes. It's like homework. Let me go into my app, Pocket Cast, my preferred app. Let's see. New one came out yesterday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20, 21. Jesus, I'm like 27 episodes behind. The last time I listened was August 8th to episode 210, My Monster. Boy, these guys put out, it's too much content. And, you know, says the guy that puts out 10 minutes every day, 7 days a week. But at some point, it's like, I can't listen to everything. I really like the podcast, although sometimes Donald Faison, it's a little too much. Love Zach. So I don't know. Office Ladies, Conan, The Read, Smartless, Scrubs, out of those five, I don't know, man. Like, I like Office Ladies a lot, but it's, you know, a TV show recap show. Fake Doctors are from a TV show recap show. I don't know. I might have to give it to Conan here. All right, the late night shows, they talked about Rudy Giuliani getting COVID. And so one of the things I do in my own life and my own comedy is I'm a chop buster. I'm sarcastic as heck, but I don't like to do mean. So I didn't want to lead off with these because, you know, COVID's pretty serious and, you know, I don't know, the guy's older and maybe it goes sideways. And I know I've been doing COVID jokes most of the year about, you know, some really horrible people that have done horrible things. But I don't know, for some reason, I just didn't feel like waking up being like, ha ha, Rudy Giuliani has COVID. But the late night host did. Jimmy Kimmel said, sadly, this COVID test is the only positive thing to come out of Rudy Giuliani in 4 years. Jimmy Fallon said, when the news broke, the coronavirus was like, damn, I knew I should have worn a mask. Corden, who would have thought, especially after Giuliani had taken every precaution and thrown it out the window while screaming election fraud in a crowded room with no mask. Kimmel, he's in the hospital now. He claims he's feeling good. He claims he's recovering quickly. He's feasting on the blood of newborn babies in the maternity ward. Colbert, all right, for a man his age, it's a troubling diagnosis, but I have no doubt he'll get top-notch medical care. Plus, you know, Rudy will stay hydrated. He drinks so many fluids they leak out of his skull. Colbert again. So, for just a partial list of Rudy's achievements since the election, he's lost 48 lawsuits. He's melted on camera. He farted in court. He got COVID, and he shut down a state legislature. The only thing more embarrassing would be if he married his own cousin. Wait, he what? Yeah, you can Google that one. Kimmel, we may look back and see that he gave his life to overturn the results of this election. Ouch, ouch. See, that's like, I don't want to get into politics here, but like, that's when I'm like, oh man, yeah, like the guy dies. I don't know if that's funny. Yeah, I don't know if I want to go there. Trevor Noah, and as much as you might have some schadenfreude about this thing, Giuliani testing positive for COVID-19 is a terrifying new development because you realize up until now, we didn't even think that dead guys could get corona. Seth, Giuliani decided to get tested after experiencing symptoms for the last 20 years. That's kind of funny. Fallon, apparently the doctor asked, when did you start feeling a little off? And Rudy said, right around 2009. Also funny. Fallon, it keeps getting worse for Rudy. After his test showed he had COVID, he challenged the results in court and lost. Excellent joke, Fallon. Rudy was like, how could this happen? All I did was travel around maskless and use whatever I found laying around to wipe my face. Fallon writers, good job there. Three in a row, man. Kimmel, he's gone from America's mayor to America's sprayer. That's hack, Jimmy. Come on, pick up your game, Jimmy Kimmel. Fallon's writers are crushing you. I'm going to read that again. He's gone from America's mayor to America's sprayer. That's a terrible joke, Jimmy Kimmel. You're so much better than that. Trevor Noah. So, yes, Rudy Giuliani has tested positive for the coronavirus, although he is suing to have that test results overturned. That's a repeat of a Fallon joke. Mark Norman talked to the Connecticut Post about being on late night, and he said late night TV is pretty useless as a promotional tool, but it's fun for the comic. It's purely for the comic, really. You put on an outfit, hammer down a tight five, and get to be on TV for a couple of minutes. It's exciting. It's showbiz. Late night sets are like a tightrope walk. If you nail it, it's great, but if you make one flub, it's pretty much done. It's a rush. Jay Leno said it best. You're the only thing on that network for 6 minutes. The Post asked Norman, any new projects coming up? Listen to this answer. I'm working on a show with puppets now where aliens try to understand the contradictions of people from a space telescope. Mark says, I'm sure it'll never sell, but I like it. I gotta agree with you there. There's just so many contradictions out there. We say big is beautiful, but applaud when you lose weight. There's no such thing as gender, but the future is female. All lives matter, but I won't wear a mask, etc. Plus, I'm always working on my podcast, so that's cooking too. Give it a goog. His podcast is called Tuesdays with Stories. You will like it. John Oliver made a surprise extra episode appearance. I didn't know this. Good thing Vulture caught it. I would have totally missed this. About a month ago, Oliver made a passing comment about the lack of knowledge of Pringles guy, you know, on the can, the guy. Not knowing anything about the guy's body, which led to the show being inundated on social media with bizarrely sexual drawings of Pringles guy's anatomy from the neck down. Oliver popped on to tell Pringles he's willing to give them a $10,000 charity check, but only if they're willing to give answers, John says. Why is Pringles dodging our question here? We're truly not asking for a lot. We've seen a ton of excellent Pringles bods. We just need to know which one is canon. I know so much useless information about Pringles, but not the one thing I really want to know, which is, what is Julius Pringles working with from the neck down? The Daily Beast spoke to Jessica Kirsten. She's on their Last Laugh podcast, another comedy podcast not nominated for the podcast awards, joining Tuesdays with Stories by Mark Norman and Daily Comedy News. Why wasn't Jessica Kirsten offended by Bill Burr's homophobic SNL monologue? Her answer, I think because I know him so well, I don't get offended because he's such a caring, loving, accepting person. I mean, he could not be more accepting of my gay marriage and me having children. And so he's one of those comics who enjoys getting people riled up, which is what so many people do on Twitter. They won't do it live in a stand-up set, but they'll do it on Twitter all day long. I do get concerned with a lot of comics and things they say. I have a lot of friends right now where I'm like, oh my God, did he really say that? Because it's so hard because you start saying, well, he shouldn't say that. He shouldn't say this. It's like, where's the line? For example, I'm Jewish. I make fun of my family. I make fun of the traditions. I make fun of us being whiny and complaining. And sometimes people get offended by that, but that's my experience. That's my life. I will say that there were some comics, not Bill, where I literally could not speak to them again. I still think they should be able to say what they want to say, even if it makes me sick. Andrew Schultz has announced a 4-part comedy event on Netflix. Not sure what a 4-part comedy event is yet, but the 4 parts apparently are the 4 P's, pandemics, predators, protests, presidents. Schultz Saves America on Netflix December 17th. And today's silly story is from Vulture, who asks, have you ever ordered a KFC famous bowl, stared at the face on the side of the package, and dreamt about what it would be like to hook up with him? Sorry, that was funny enough that I actually choked. Of course you have. And Lifetime is about to make every person's most forbidden desire come to life with an original made-for-TV mini-movie romance called A Recipe for Seduction about, this is such great writing by Vulture here, you guessed it, a Colonel Sanders that has sex. I cleaned that up a little. In the trailer, Mario Lopez plays Harland Sanders, the hunky new cook who beautiful heiress Jessica falls in love with. Despite her pending engagement to the man her mother chose for her, there's forbidden love, intrigue, and a secret chicken recipe that might just change the world. This is epic. Vulture adds, if you couldn't tell, this is definitely extremely sponsored content presented by Kentucky Fried Chicken. This will air noon December 13th. That is epic. On the late night shows tonight, Keegan-Michael Key, who's awesome, I told you a story about him last week, he's on Jimmy Kimmel. I'm trying to figure out, I've been making a list of my top 10 comedy things, and I was going to do it like December 20-something, because I thought it would make good filler, but I see everybody else is dropping theirs now. I should wait, right? Because A, who really cares what my list is, and B, I'm going to need the filler, aren't I? I should wait. I should wait. I'm also sitting on Vulture release their top 10. I might do that this weekend. We'll see. I remember I told you I got a tweet from Jerry, and I believe that the Bob's Burgers Mafia had kidnapped her dog or something. I haven't been able to rescue the dog yet, but there's still something's up with Jerry. She tweeted me again, and she wrote, "I'm convinced Fox is messing with y'all. I saw a Family Guy episode over the weekend with Trump, and both were talking about how Bob's Burgers is so good, super weird." All right, so Family Guy's in on the joke. Yeah, Fox is messing with us. On the other Fox show, Family Guy is talking about how Bob's Burgers is a real thing. It's part of the conspiracy. What is the lineup? It's Simpsons, Family Guy, then Bob's Burgers, allegedly? Yeah, so they know nobody's sticking around for an hour or 15 minutes after football. No one, the Bob's Burgers does not exist. Stop, Jerry. But Jerry wrote, "It's definitely real, though. Ask Sam Cedar. He was in early episodes and tagged Sam on it. I haven't heard back from Sam yet. Maybe Sam doesn't even exist. I did a Google on this Sam Cedar, and what actually came up was the Bob's Burgers Wikipedia. Isn't that convenient? That claims Samuel Lincoln Sam Cedar is a comedian, writer, actor, film director, television producer, director, and talk radio host. He's not also a scientist. He doesn't also make hilarious TikTok videos about Donald Trump. Sam began as a progressive radio commentator at the now-defunct Air America in March 2004. That means that Mark Maron is going to be in on this conspiracy that Bob's Burgers exists. But of course, Bob's Burgers does not exist. Have you ever seen it? No. Have you ever met anyone who's seen it? No. Supposedly, if the show exists, Sam Cedar would have voiced several characters, Hugo Habercourt, Harold Cranwinkle, Officer Cliffany, Scott Baggs at Lobsterfest, Al in It Snakes a Village, and Nathaniel in CSEA, See Me Now. I hope Sam Cedar tweets me back and offers some proof that Bob's Burgers exists, which it does not, because have you ever seen it? No. Have you met anyone who's seen it? No. Nice try, Jerry. That's your daily comedy news for today. Follow on Spotify. Nominate me for an award. No, I don't care. I really don't care. Follow on Spotify. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts. And hey, remember like 12 minutes ago when I said that the Scrubs guys were putting out too much content, says the guy who puts out 7 days a week? Yeah, here's a 10-plus minute episode. I should shut up. Bye.